For the past 6 days, Taiwanese container and shipping company Evergreen has had one of its ships, the Ever Given, stuck on a channel of the Suez Canal near Egypt. While the ship is now free, the Suez Canal Authority has valued the loss and damages from the blockage at an estimated $1 billion. The chairman of the authority in Egypt also said that as of noon on March 31st, 285 cargo ships had passed through the canal smoothly, and the remaining 175 would pass through the canal by April 2nd. The Suez Canal is the shortest trade route between Europe and Asia and has been in operation since 1869 and is still expanding with new canals opening. Before then, ships had to take the longer route around Africa. James Gregson is a desk officer in the Australian offshore oil and gas industry and has crossed through the Suez Canal and says that the journey would normally take a day and that precautions against pirates are often also arranged.
It's quite an experience. It all starts basically, for me it started at Sri Lanka, where we had to pick up armed guards to get through the, basically past Somalia, and then as you go through the Gulf of Aden, and then you get this bottleneck called the Bab el Mandeb, and that's, I remember coming up on watch, started at midday, I was on the 12 to 4 watch, and I came up on the bridge and everyone was white, and I was like, oh, what's happened? And out the back window of the bridge, there was all these skiffs, and the people handing over to me were like, we've just been circled for the last half an hour by 12 pirate skiffs. So that was, yeah, thankfully with armed guards, though, they scared them away, and the Somali pirates sort of know that bullets hurt, so they just wait for the next ship to come along that don't have armed guards. So that sort of is where it kind of started. And then you come up through the Red Sea, and I remember we came to the anchorage to wait for our turn at the middle of the night, and we had to drop anchor, and then we waited for our time spot and for our pilot to come. And then we embarked on our voyage, and it was still quite early, and then I remember we had to make it into the Bitter Lakes, which is about the halfway point, and you don't really see too much at night time, but when the sun came up, it was a bit like Lawrence of Arabia, you know, the rolling sand hills and everything, and then and you see the occasional palm trees and things like that. But when the most amazing part for me was when it split into the two channels, and you could see the ships on the other side that you couldn't see the ship. All you could see was like the containers moving along the horizon, which is quite surreal, and by that stage it was the sun was setting, so it was just this picturesque moment that I'll never forget, seeing these container ships cruising along the what looked like cities moving along the horizon. Yeah, it was quite amazing experience for me.
However, with one ship inauspiciously turning sideways, blocking the canal, questions about supply chains and the broader impact of disruption to trade routes are on the forefront of people's minds. Rob O'Brien, CEO of Logistics Bureau, a logistics and supply chain consultant company, says that the blocking of the canal is an extremely rare occurrence and that the impact of the Ever Given will last for the next few months as manufacturers make up for the lost time at sea.
I suppose the difficulty with something like this is, you know, it's yet another one of these sort of black swan events that it's very difficult to plan for. And I don't think anyone really expected the Suez Canal to be blocked for so long. So this is where you saw, you know, a very large build-up of ships, because obviously they expected it might be a delay of, you know, a couple of days. And then as time went on, people are wondering, you know, should we redirect our ships and incur, you know, the extra sailing time and costs and further delays, or do we actually wait and see if the canal will reopen? I mean, I think the, you know, the canal authorities did an amazing job to actually get it cleared. It was a heck of a thing to try and tackle. But of course, it's created now this huge knock-on effect. I mean, ships are going through the canal again now, but what it's done, it's going to create, if you like, this wave effect of where shipping is going to be backing up now at all the destination ports. So in Europe for the northbound traffic, you know, around Asia and so on for the southbound traffic. And it's going to take a very long time to clear that, because obviously the ports can't take, you know, a sudden influx of ships. And, you know, where you've got ships going to the west coast of the US, for example, there's already congestion there. So I would predict, you know, there'll be 4 or 5 months before a lot of this settles down.
He also says that this will add to the growing movement of supply chains to diversify and foolproof themselves from disruption.
Yeah, look, I mean, the whole philosophy of supply chain management in recent years has been to minimize resupply times, as you say, the sort of just-in-time supply, cutting inventory levels all the way through the supply chain. I think we've already taken a backward step from that through, you know, the last 12 months or so of COVID, because we've seen disruption of resupply, and therefore that fragility that we'd kind of created in our supply chains really was a bit risky and not quite sustainable. So we're probably seeing a little bit more inventory, you know, stock levels in our supply chains now, a little bit more of a cautious approach on you know, our resupply generally. This is another factor maybe to take into account.